Welcome back, my friends, to another day of the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest here, world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an absolutely fantastic Friday today. You guys are staying strong and healthy, as you always are, getting the truth out there. You guys have been joining the shows this week. They've been all over the place. We've had some wild shows. And top to bottom, different topics, and trying to bring in a lot of health news. And the one and only Ultimate Multiple Capsules is on sale right now for products of the week, the 12 days of Christmas. You guys get every single day 24-hour sale on a specific product we're throwing up there. Just plug in the 12 days coupon code right there, 12DAYS. I can't make it any easier than that. Plug it right into the cart, add it to your cart. It'll apply to just that product right there. And, anything else you want to do, you can also check out the best sellers. This is a product page that's been pretty popular that was pretty much I put up here by popular request. People want to see some of the top products that we have. You know, the magnesium brain food, ultra multiple capsules, there you are right there. Excellent C, B complex, GHI. Are most of our top heavy hitters that we really, really move and that we all take pretty much every single day. And that's why we put on the best sellers most often used. So be sure to check those out. It's a good place to start. And also, to make sure you're going to thebrowershow.com and getting updates every single day as far as on the email list. If people ask me for that on there, all you got to do is click the updates, put your name, email, Brower Show, and Health Masters. You can do one or the other. I recommend both. Brower Show gets you the podcast right to your email every day. Health Masters gets you the specials and sales every single day right to your email, so you don't have to look for them. They just pop up. And if you haven't seen them or you've applied for them, make sure you check your spam. On a rare occasion, we're getting some of the email listers, the host, that basically just put stuff in spam. It happens. So just check your spam. How are you doing?
I'm pretty upset.
You look upset.
I'm about had enough.
What got you mad today?
Fear porn.
Fear porn. Oh, that's a pretty irritable.
We're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I'm so over these stinking podcasters coming on the doggone shows and coming in as guests and doing their own shows, and everything is fear porn. I won't do that on this show. We're not born that way. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have complete and total control of our lives for the rest of eternity through Christ and through God Almighty. And we don't have to walk in fear, Austin. And when I get these people sending me all of these links all the time, and forgive me, I like some of the links, some of them I don't, and all of this is fear porn, I'm not doing that. We're going to have a tidal wave going to come over the earth next week. The earth's going to stop the sun. The sun's going to stop. You know, and we're going to have earthquakes everywhere. Oh, we got this. No, this is clickbait. I'm telling you what it is. It's stinking clickbait. And what it does, it gets their algorithms up so they can charge more for their advertising on their websites. That's all it is.
That's exactly what it is.
No, and it is. That's why I will not do commercial stops on our show. If you're looking at Rumble and you're hearing a commercial, it ain't us.
This is Rumble.
Listen to thebrowershow.com. Go directly to it, and you don't have to listen to any of those silly commercials. We're not getting paid a penny for that. And I won't push fear porn. I will not, and I'm not endorsing any products that Rumble puts on our show. Zero. We have no input whatsoever under what they put up there. So we're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, like Timothy says. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have complete and total victory in Jesus Christ. We will not walk in fear because we serve the Most High God, period. And I can't stand it, Austin, when people send me these links. And don't get me wrong, I love you guys for sending me links, but don't send me fear porn. I can't, I won't, I refuse to listen to it, Austin. I will not. A few years ago, it was, we've got a Planet X coming. Oh, my God, it's going to wipe. And I got caught up in that one because I had a good friend of mine get involved in that. And finally, after about 6 months of that, I said, what difference does it make if Planet X shows up?
There you go.
And he goes, well, you know what's going to happen.
That's why I told you that. I said, if we have a planet that's coming in contact with Earth.
20 years ago.
The whole Earth and everything is going to cease to exist after that. So why are we sitting around all terrified?
These entities that control the other side of the veil.
They feed off fear.
They feed off of fear because it's a low energy vibration. I talked about it yesterday, how everything's a vibratory state. Don't allow yourself to get caught. That's why a lot of times our show turns into a comedy hour with Ted and Austin. People say, oh, we love it. Man, we feel great when we listen to the show. Well, I'm going to say something else to you. If you take supplements and you take care of yourself and you take good supplements, you're going to feel great every single day. A new study just came out, and it said the primary cause of people dying is basically not having enough cardiovascular training and eating too much junk causing cardiovascular disease.
It's a perfect storm.
It's like 80% to 90% of the actual cause of death is cardiovascular disease, heart attack, stroke, period, as you get older. And one of the primary causes of that is calcium. Now, I can't complain about, you know, very few things in my life, but I can complain about this. People promote and say, hey, we need to drink mineralized water. No. We need to drink spring water. No. You need to drink reverse osmosis water or distilled water and get the stinking calcium carbonate out of your water. When you brush your teeth and you're using toothpaste, rinse your mouth out 3 or 4 times if you got calcium carbonate in your toothpaste. It's a great cleaner. It does great for that. But don't be getting a mouthful of soap with calcium carbonate in it and swallowing it. Just rinse your mouth out 3 or 4 times.
And don't get fluoride toothpaste.
Don't get fluoride toothpaste. And the thing about it is that if cardiovascular disease is one of the primary causes of death, it is the primary cause of death, and it's the primary cause of death at old age, then we have to ask ourselves a question. Why in the world are we sitting here putting all of this junk into our bodies all of the time and taking calcium supplements? I had a doctor friend of mine, died at the age of 52, medical doctor, great guy. I love the guy. He was a great guy. Went to his funeral, packed out house. It was unbelievable that he died so young. He had a heart attack about 3 years beforehand. Then he had another heart attack and he died. And I asked him, I said, will you please send me a list of your supplements you're taking? I am a naturopath. He says, yes. He sent them to me and he's taking one of his primary products. He's taking every single day is calcium carbonate. And I warned him, I said, dude, that doesn't cause heart attacks. So I sent him like 15 references, articles that calcium carbonate and calcium supplements cause heart attacks in men. But it was too late. The damage had already been done. And his wife refused to feed him right. All she wanted to do was feed him junk food all the time. They invited us over one afternoon for dinner. The food was so bad, we passed. You think, you really did that? You told him you weren't going to eat? Well, yeah, we did. Sharon didn't want to eat there. It was some kind of spaghetti stuff. It was awful. And I just said, we got to pass. We got something else planned, which we did. We went somewhere else and we ate. And we finally began to realize that not everybody who promotes a healthy lifestyle knows how to live one. And if their spouse isn't in agreement with them, it's almost impossible to live properly. I'm letting you know that. That's why we try to give you personal advice sometimes. If you're dating somebody, you make sure that you guys are in agreement on what you're going to eat, what you're going to do with your kids, on the vaccines. Just the other day, I had one of my kids call me up and say they're dating somebody. And they say, well, so-and-so's sister's having a baby, and we can't go see her unless we both take the shot, the flu shot, and another shot. And I'm like, well, did I pass on seeing the baby?
Yeah.
And I sent her a bunch of references on why you don't need these shots and why you shouldn't do it. One of them was a tetanus shot. I mean, why would you have to take a tetanus shot to see a baby? I mean, it's insanity.
That's idiotic.
No, but the problem is I've heard it over COVID. You can't come see us until you take the COVID shot. You're not invited to Christmas until you take the COVID shot.
My response is always, but you got your shot. My shot doesn't work unless you get your shot.
Gosh.
And I'm like,
no.
You can't be that stupid.
No, they are.
And they were that stupid.
No.
Why should I say that manipulated through psychological warfare? Well, no, that's what it was.
Okay, what we are right now is we are in a psych war right now in the United States. It's they're fighting for the hearts and minds of the people and the souls of the people in this country. That's what this is. That's what Edward Bernays was taught to do by Sigmund Freud, both Kabbalist, Luciferian, synagogue of Satan people. This is a battle going on. It's a battle not of flesh and blood, but of these principalities, these other high places. And if we understand what we're against, then we won't listen to the fear porn. Don't do it. If it doesn't build you up and you don't feel better and you don't realize, hey, we can do all things through Christ, after you hear a show and they don't talk about Jesus, and all they talk about is God. God's important. Don't get me wrong. God the Father is important. But you've got to talk about Jesus, for he's the author. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. And so many people who are these New Agers, they won't talk about Jesus. They don't do it. I mean, they won't mention him. Why? Because it's offensive to so many of the Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan boys, because they know Jesus is real. And they don't want his name being mentioned.
It's because they sponsor most of the shows that are out there.
Well, yeah, he sponsors these shows.
The thing is, you've got to understand this from a base psychology standpoint. Psychological warfare is very real, probably one of the most effective warfare key aspects in existence. It is more effective than straight combat because it has the ability to change more and more people without them even
knowing they're
changed.
Break them down over time.
Fear is one of the most effective forms of psychological warfare. If you continue to put a boogeyman in front of a populace, and the boogeyman, here's what happens is, after a long enough period of time scale, people become immune to the boogeyman. They start to get used to the boogeyman. They start to figure out ways around the boogeyman. They start to adapt to the boogeyman. So they have to have a constant new boogeyman that's constantly put in front of a population to keep them in a state of fear. A state of fear keeps you compromised because in most cases, a lot of people do not act when they're in fear. They pause, they freeze.
They freeze.
They freeze. Yeah. And so what happens is you've got to have a new boogeyman. Maduro's running fentanyl. We got to blow everybody up and take over Venezuela. Okay. We've got that story now. We've heard of Iraq. We heard it with Saddam Hussein. We heard it with Gaddafi. We've heard that story. Okay, so people are going, all right, that's not enough now. Oh, no, we got something else happening now. Oh, we've got alien disclosure. Okay, we've already pretty much figured out that's happened now. Everybody's well aware of that. They're trying to go to that one now. Oh, no, we've got this massive invasion coming in now. Okay, we got China and Russia. It's always this constant fear to keep people distracted from what's really going on. This is why on this show, and Doug and I had a detailed discussion on the other night, I always try to give you guys real-world solutions that you can adapt to modern problems and actually make work for your real life, whether it's supplementation, whether it's small amount of financial engagements with vehicles like we talked about yesterday, and not financing certain vehicles that you don't need and not overpaying and buying new for them, making sure you're taking care of your health, making sure you're staying away from certain foods, make sure you're protecting your children in the world and in the internet world, and all types of different things I tried to do on this show. And I hope you guys understand what we do on here, because I don't push fear porn either. I hate it. And Dad said something that was 100% spot on, and I know this from being in the tech world. The vast majority of these alt media sites, they love to put up these fear porn articles because it gets enormous amount of clicks. When you go on the backside of a website, you can look at what's called analytics, and you can look at see how many clicks there are, how many purchases there are, how much traffic there were. You can even look at most cases where the traffic was from, what city it's from, what state it's from, what country it's from. They do this in order to generate more clicks with fear porn because everybody starts forwarding it out of fear. Then all of a sudden, instead of a normal post that gets 1,000 clicks, they get 50,000 views on it. Well, then what happens is when they want to sell more ads, they print out their analytics for the month and they say, look at my analytics. I get 500,000 organic visitors every single month. They'll send you a sheet and you go, wow, you really do. Run the numbers, you really do. But what they don't tell you is the vast majority of the reason why they're getting clicks is because it's all BS fear porn that they're doing to pad up their numbers so they can try to justify $4,000, $5,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 a month that they want to basically get in revenue by you promoting something on their website. And you promote something on their website and you go, this didn't generate anything. I'm not getting any clicks. Right. Because the only people that are clicking stuff on that site are fear porn lurkers. That's it. So just take it.
Well, no, I remember one time this guy put up that, the sun's going to go dark for 7 days and everybody on the planet's going to die. And I'm like, okay, that's enough of this crap.
Well, no, but everybody clicked on it.
No.
I clicked on it, too. You clicked on it. No. We're all like, what in the world is this?
No, actually, I didn't click on it. I call up a friend of a friend of the person who posted that on their website. Say, will you please tell this individual to take this crap down?
I mean, I clicked on it. I was like, what the heck is this? I click on it, and I'm like, oh, this is total trash.
No.
But again, it was another click.
And to the credit, the guy took it down after my friend of a friend told him to take it down. Yeah. I said, come on, man, don't be doing this stuff. We're not born of a spirit of fear. Let me read you this out of Isaiah. This is the key. It's talking about fasting. This is the kind of fast I'm after, to break the chains of injustice. This is from the Amplified Bible. Get rid of exploitation in the workplace. Free the oppressed. Cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is sharing your food with the hungry and inviting homeless into your homes. Putting clothes on, quivering and shivering, ill-clad, being available to your own families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lives will turn around at once. Your righteous will have paved your way. The God of glory will secure your passage. Then when you pray to God, God will answer. You call out for help and I say, here I am. If you get rid of unfair practices, remember who he's talking to here. This is Isaiah.
Unjust scales.
That's right. Quit blaming victims. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it? He deserved what he got. Okay. Quit gossiping about other people's sins. Hey, you know what this is? This is like this. This so-and-so is doing this, but don't look at what I'm doing. Yep. Don't look what I'm doing. His sin's different than my sin. My sin's okay. His sin's not. Dude, sin is sin, period. We can do a whole show on that. And then when you pray, God will answer your prayers. Get rid of unfair practices. If you're generous with the hungry and start giving to yourselves, start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness and your shadow lives will be bathed in sunlight. I will always show you where to go. I will give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You use the old rubble of past lives to build the new, build the foundations out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything. You hear me? You'll be known as the person who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. You will be a positive individual that will get up in the morning with a step in your life and ready to roll. I had a guy text me this morning. He sent me some unbelievably negative book he wanted me to read. And he says, see if you ever slow down, if you can read this book. And I said, hey, look, I'm not slowing down. I'm still at 100%. Not time to read this. This will never happen. You think? That's what I told him.
funny, bro.
No.
You crack me up. This will never happen. You know, one thing I have to say, I will say about this, especially you being German, if he says he's going to do something or he's not going to do something, you could pretty much set your clock on it. I'll tell you that right now. I just laughed when you said that.
I had a friend of mine one time, Dr. Mark Rutland. He was talking about me to some people over at Southeastern. He goes, and they said, "Will Ted Brewer do this? Will Ted Brewer do that?" And here's what he said. This is what Mark said. He says, here's a quote. He said, "If Ted Brewer tells you that he's going to kill you, you better buy a casket."
Facts.
Now, he was doing that metaphorically. I'm not going to go kill anybody, all right? I don't want you to go, "He said to go buy a casket." No, don't do that. But when I tell you what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, I used to get so frustrated, right? This just to irritate the heck out of me. Because I knew if I asked him, like, "Hey, Dad, you know, can we go ride dirt bikes this weekend? Or can we go to the gun range?" If he said, "Yeah, absolutely, we're going to go on Saturday," I could be up at 6 a.m. Saturday morning. I know we were 100% going. But he was smart, though. I'd sometimes be like, "Dad, can we go ride dirt bikes on Saturday?" "Yeah, maybe. We'll see." Maybe. About the 10th time I realized maybe meant nothing.
He told me that. So, "Dad, maybe means nothing.
He said, "No, maybe means nothing. It's either yes or no. If I say maybe, we might not be going. We might go." And I'm like, "Oh," I got flustered about it. But if he said we were going, we were going. Maybe meant nothing.
A war at turning point. Did you see this? Tucker Carlson and that unbelievable Pennsylvania.
Faggot Shapiro.
Did you say faggot Shapiro?
I did. I think he's a homosexual, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I think he's a closet homosexual.
Wow.
I've heard stuff about him now from certain individuals. I think he's complete and total fraud.
Well, he took over for Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
I wonder why he took over for Rush Limbaugh. Yeah. Anyways.
Turning Point USA's fest continued into a war between Shapiro and Tucker Carlson.
Oh, yeah.
On the platform.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. During his speech, Shapiro attacked Carlson for hosting controversial guests on the show, including Nick Fuentes, Andrew Tate. Shapiro also attacked the former Fox News host for refusing to condemn Candace Owens amid her ongoing theories about the assassination of Turning Point USA founder Charlie Kirk. Didn't do anything from the platform. The people who refuse to condemn Candace's truly vicious attacks, and some of them are speaking here, are guilty of cowardice. Yes, cowardice, said Shapiro. This comes from this little meow boy.
He can't even hit a speed bag. He knocked himself out in the gym with a speed bag.
Oh, my gosh. I want to say something about that.
That's why I didn't go into details, because I was just going to start cussing. I'll be honest with you.
The fact that they have said nothing when Candace has been vomiting all sorts of hideous and conspiratorial nonsense into public squares this year is a cowardly. No, Candace Owens, Ben Shapiro, is telling the truth on a lot of the things she talks about. Other things which she doesn't know for sure, she'll say, "I'm not sure about this, but this is what it appears to be." Now, I think Candace Owens is one of the finest journalists out there, period. I like her. Well, she's a liberal black female. No, she's not. She's not. She's a conservative black female. And why do you care if she's black or not? Why do you care? She's phenomenal as far as her speech patterns and what she does and how articulate she is. And by the way, she's really good looking, too. Oh, that's right. You wouldn't think about that, would you, Shapiro? Because, oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I watched some of this back and forth. And here's the thing that I've always found ironic. This is always 100% of the time without fail. The Jews never address what they do. They just deflect and blame shift them as the victim.
Oh,
they always do this.
Listen to what Shapiro says. If we offer a guest for your viewing, we owe it to ask the kinds of questions are going to get the truth. If we agree with a guest, that's fine, but we should own it. For example, if you host a Hitler apologist, Nazi-loving, anti-American piece of refuse like Nick Fuentes, you know, the Nick Fuentes who said that the vice president of the United States is, quote, a fat, gay, race traitor married to a jet. The person who said that Charlie, quote, Quirk was, quote, a retarded idiot. The person who said, pardon my language in this quote, that he, quote, looked Turning Point and blanked it, and that's why it filled up with groupers, and why you have a person on your show who proceeded to glaze him, and you thought to own it. If you knew that Equifantis was an evil troll, that building him up was an act of moral imbecility, and it's precisely what Tucker Carlson did. He built Nick Fuentes up and thought to take responsibility for that. Does he ought to take responsible for the glazing pornographer and sex trafficker Andrew Tate, or for mainstreaming fake historian, pseudo-Nazi apologist Daryl Cooper, by the way, is an extremely good historian, as America's best and most honest popular historian? Hosts are indeed responsible for the guests they choose and the questions they ask those guests. Now, I will say that he's right on that last sentence. He's right. Hosts are indeed responsible for the guests they choose and the questions they ask those guests. Now, I've done this before. We've done this. Got me on a tear today, Austin. Here's what I've done before. I've had a guest on that sucked. No, you see, I can't believe you said the word sucked. They sucked. And halfway through the show, I took him off the air. You remember who I'm talking about? Yeah. It's a doctor.
We've done it before.
Okay. And I called Todd up after the show and I said, delete the broadcast. Delete it. Get rid of it. And then we had another one in there, a female doctor who was a complete and total fraud, who ended up killing somebody with hydrogen peroxide therapy. And it was an unbelievable mess. And we had her on 6 months earlier. And then I was going to bring her back on again. And she told me, I do whatever I want to do. I march to the beat of a different drummer. I can do whatever I want to do. I don't follow standard medical protocol on anything. And I said, oh. And then she starts, I'm not going to go into, you'll know who it is if I tell you anymore. But then what I did, I went back 6 months in the archives and I deleted the broadcast. And it was a great broadcast. I really didn't want to delete it. I didn't.
Yeah.
But I took it down. So he says that hosts are responsible for the guests they have on. He is 100% right about that. The problem is that you can't censor everybody because some little pencil neck tells you to censor it.
Well, that's what it comes down to.
No.
He doesn't get his way, but he tells everybody you can't have them on.
Then Tucker comes back in and basically says that he goes pointing out that Charlie should firm and often stated and deeply held belief that people should be able to debate. Carlson responded to Shapiro's criticism by concluding, I kind of thought we'd reached the end of the cancel culture. And as far as I'm concerned, we have. And I'm not going to play by those rules. I'm not going to engage in that. In other words, when I bring somebody on that I think is legit, I'm going to bring them on and I'm not going to cancel them. I'm going to put them on as a guest. And the thing that bothers me, this is Austin, so many people will allow people like Ben Shapiro now to influence who they put on their podcast.
Exactly right.
Because they're afraid that Ben Shapiro is going to lash out at them. And the sad part about it is that I remember I have a good friend of mine who's a radio personality. I'm sure you guys know who he is. I won't mention his name. He can't stand Shapiro.
Yeah.
In fact, he should have been the one who took over Rush Limbaugh's show, not Shapiro. And Shapiro, all he's done is run into the ground and the numbers are in the toilet now because nobody wants to listen to this little pencil neck. And listen to me, guys. If you get a group of people that want to listen to a little pencil neck guy who acts like he may or may not be gay, you're not going to build a big audience around that. Unless you have people that are extremely liberal who are going to listen to him. Now, there are people who are, quote, gay guys that are Republicans. I guess they call it the log cabin or whatever, the group of Republicans, whatever they are.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, this is why.
Oh, you're going to play him again?
I'm going to play it.
All right. Okay. Here's Shapiro. If you want to listen to Shapiro, here's
the guy you're going to take your advice from, his response.
Put him on the screen.
Yeah.
Hey, here you go, Shapiro. You made our show now. Guess you're the guest. Listen to this.
First point of view, or we don't believe in the divinity of Christ. I
right.
think that there you can make an argument that the Gospels, which were written,
he was just a prophet. And
right. No. We don't even believe he was a prophet.
What do you think he was? What do you guys?
I think he was historically. I think he was a Jew who tried to lead a revolt against the Romans and got killed for his trouble, just like a lot of other Jews at that time who were crucified for trying to lead revolts against the Roman and got killed for their trouble.
So he became legend in story, and it became a bigger and bigger deal as time went on.
Yeah, he had a group of followers, and then that gradually grew, and then
do you think
there
he
was
resurrected?
No, that's not a Jewish
okay.
belief.
I want to address that for everybody that likes to still follow his basis.
Well, let me say something. There's a reason it's called history. It's H-I-S, his story. Whose story is it? It's the story of Jesus. That's history. Now, what's funny about this is that you realize that, oh, he was nothing to these people. But the reality was we changed the entire timeline. Notice it's 2025 right now.
AD.
Almost 26 AD. Notice that there are hundreds of millions, if not billions of Christians still alive on this planet right now. Notice that Jesus Christ is the person who basically changed the entire planet without ever causing a revolt or ever causing people's blood to be spilled and was diametrically opposed to it. And notice one other thing, Shapiro, just in case you haven't caught on to this. He was raised from the dead. And that has historical documentation over and over and over and over and over again. And he appeared after he died, and he talked to a lot of people, and millions of people have been saved through him. And he is the Son of the Most High God, and he created the heavens and the earth. Now, if you think that this is just a person wandering the street who tried to lead a revolt against Rome, whatever. What is wrong with you? The entire historical calendar was changed over this man, but yet you believe that he was a demon-possessed sorcerer. That's what your book says in the Talmud. And the sad part about this is you also say the Virgin Mary was a whore. So here's the problem with all of this stuff. Why should I listen to anything you pencil-neck little dweeb would say? I can't stand you, by the way. And the sad part about it is that I have to be subjected to you, and why in the world were you allowed to even speak on Turning Point? Oh, that's right. We got a bunch of weird stuff going on at Turning Point right now. Charlie Kirk was exposing a lot of it. And guess what? He ain't here anymore. I already told you who took care of him. I told you the day after he died who killed him, and I still stand by that, Austin. What do you think?
You're spot on. We've gone into it in detail in here. Now, here's another article, switching gears now, since covered product of the week. I wanted to cover this article. I saw it earlier this week, but again, we've had the sale go with product of the week with the new mushrooms, including Cordyceps, Reishi, Lion's Mane, and a whole host of other
ones. That's a great product.
It's a great product. You can go on here on the website if you want to look at the full detail.
I took it again. I took it last night.
I did, too. I slept really good.
Me, too. I did.
I slept good last night.
Does that make you sleep?
It does. Well, it helps support the immune system, but also helps reduce cortisol and also helps kind of calm down the body.
It doesn't
make you stoned. These aren't mushrooms like, whoa, I'm seeing stars. These are mushrooms that actually help support the immune system, cognitive functioning, clarity, focus,
rest. No, I slept like seven hours last night. I've been sleeping through the night the last three or four days.
Yes, you know, they really help recovering. As far as recovering from the gym and stuff, so I've been out of the gym for the last couple of weeks. Been super busy, training on and off.
It's a shame you allowed yourself to get in the kind of condition you're in. This is terrible.
I know. My body fat. I'm to an obese state right now. I've got to get back in shape. But no, I noticed though. The thing is, a lot of times, sometimes after a hard training, you sleep pretty good, but you'll kind of wake up. I will sometimes in the middle of the night because you're so stinking hungry. And I noticed last night I slept really good. And I didn't wake up starving. So I don't know if my body was recovering or adapting a little bit better. I'm not sure. But that's one of my biggest pet peeves. You wake up like 2 a.m.
I can't remember if I took two or four of those last night, but I felt great.
Yeah, and so that's why I want to come up. I saw this article here on it. It talks about medicinal mushrooms, and it says the therapeutic properties now that are coming out more and more on these mushrooms and what they do for the overall body and the immune system. And then it goes in here. I'll post the article so you guys can read all about them if you don't understand them and the difference between these and also like magic mushrooms. I'm not recommending those. That's the ones with, I think, psilocybin in them.
No, that's not what I'm
recommending. So don't snippet this and post it on something and say that's what I'm saying here. It says the beta-glucans, and it goes on the different ones. It says the cordyceps, one of the big ones in here, and they're a very famous type of mushroom that kind of gets you an extra gear to help the body recover better and also rest better. And then the other ones on here, cordyceps health benefits and how they basically help out as far as with the body's digestion, increasing VO2 max, also with oxygen as far as the way the body absorbs it. And so this is a pretty cool article. It covers a lot
of VO2 max, the amount of oxygen your body can maintain.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The cordyceps on here actually increase that naturally, which is pretty interesting. So I'm wondering, this is just
Lion's Mane is great for the brain.
Oh yeah. It's the interesting thing. I'm going to try this myself. I wonder if you run the HGH stimulate with a high dose of the cordyceps of the mushrooms about an hour or so before you work out, if it'll increase your VO2 max even more with the nitric oxide production. I haven't seen anything on that.
Statistically, it should.
It should. Mm-hmm. It already helps. The HGH stimulants already help massively with muscle endurance.
I'm going to warn you guys. Don't be taking the HGH stimulate, you know, if you don't talk to your wife first, because it's like a natural Viagra. Just thought I'd mention that to you. Stuff is strong.
You get it out of you in the gym. The thing is, that HGH stimulant, it'll really help out with muscle endurance. Everybody I know as far as that runs it, always in the gym. I mean, Clayton hit me up yesterday, needed more of it. That muscle blast again. Those stacked together when you train. There's no stimulants in them, by the way. Those products are stimulant-free. If you want stims, you got the purple sticks. But the muscle blast and the HGH stimulate throughout the workout, it'll keep you going.
Have you ever done a purple stick with HGH stimulate and muscle blast all mixed together at once?
I have. I prefer to do the purple sticks about 20 minutes before the workout, though. Okay. It kicks a little bit better. So then you drink the HGH stimulate with the muscle blast through the whole workout. Instead of just drinking a glass of water, I do it with a whole shaker.
Yeah, Van and I changed the workout a little bit the other day. We actually came in because normally we were doing lats and arms the same day, and it's taking a little bit too long. And I noticed that if you drag out a workout too long, you start to drop off the energy at the end of the workout.
That's when you need HGH stimulant muscle blast.
So what we did yesterday is we shifted it. We did leg. We do cardio first all the time.
Yeah.
Then we did arms.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we do legs because we literally, because of the cardio, do legs 6 days a week.
Now, what you could do is if you want to have a little bit more energy, it'll basically help you hold more. You don't burn as much glycogen up. Is do your cardio post workout. That's what I always did. I always did cardio after my workouts.
Yeah, but to me, the cardio is so important that if I get it done and get it out of the way, it always gets priority. Because remember, my cardio is only 5 minutes of treadmill and 5 minutes of trampoline.
Yeah.
So I'm not getting there for 40 minutes on cardio because that'll wear you out.
Well, it burns your glycogen out.
Yeah. Does.
Yeah, if anybody knows anything about exercise, especially if you're trying to put all you got into weights, you can't sit there and do an hour of cardio.
Oh, and by the way, that trampoline will get your calves in great shape.
Oh, trampoline is great, especially circulation.
Oh, my God.
The circulation's incredible.
Well, it works as one-way blood vessels that basically return the blood back to the heart.
Yep.
A lot of times people start getting what's called venous pooling, and their ankles start swelling.
Yep.
And to me, I never had that, but my workout partner was having that, and he started doing trampoline, completely got rid of it.
Oh, and it massively helps out with blood pressure. Oh, that's significant. Because I've had issues before, whether it be stress or too much purple sticks or not sleeping enough. My blood pressure started creeping up. It was like 140 over 90. And I was like, yeah, it's not bad. I'm like, but I don't, you know, the thing about blood pressure is you don't want to let it get out of control. If you start having an issue with it, it starts moving up a little bit. You got to get it back down. And I'll tell you right now, doing about 5 to 10 minutes of trampoline, I do it in the morning and then I do it at night after I train. Done. Blood pressure goes back to completely perfect.
You guys, this is an interesting story. I went over to this doctor's office several years ago, and there was one of the girls. Her name's Kayla.
Yeah.
And I was getting some chelation therapy done. And what was interesting is I've known Kayla for a long, long time, and I'm going to talk to you right now about the power of prayer.
Yeah.
Okay? And I was in there, and I'd gotten caught in traffic. I'd had too many purple sticks. My blood pressure was up. It was up. And I think it was like 160.
Yeah.
Okay? It was. My blood pressure never runs that high. And she said to me, because, wow, I've never seen your blood pressure like this. And I said, whoa, 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 calm it down for a second. I said,
give me a minute.
Give me a second. And I said, we're not putting that in my chart.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and says, what do you mean? I said, I'm going to pray. And that blood pressure is going to drop. And so I sat there and I relaxed. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't want to deal with this. I said, I'm not dealing with high blood pressure. And I told my body, I said, I command you right now in the name of Jesus to come down. I did. I relaxed. And she came over there like a minute later and she took my blood pressure. It was dropped down 40 points. 40 points.
Wow.
Went from 160 to 120. And she says, Ted, I've seen people do that before. I've seen it come down 5, 10, 15 points. I've never seen somebody's blood pressure drop 40 points.
That's a lot, dude.
I know it was. But the problem, the truth is, prayer is unbelievable what it does. It creates physical reality. You start telling your body what you expect of it, and you're praying when you're telling
it's
it.
Truth.
The body is a physical, it's in a physical realm that's basically a holograph. And it has to listen to you. Now, there's certain parameters about this. If you've allowed yourself to become 500 pounds, sorry if I picked on you, okay, and your blood pressure's through the roof, chances are praying ain't going to help much of that. It may drop a little bit, okay? But if you're staying in shape and you're working out and you're doing trampoline and you're keeping your body fat levels low, prayer can do all kinds of things for you. Because remember, prayer creates a physical reality around you that changes the fabric of space-time. That's something that I don't – if I could get anybody to get that point of the show today, it would change – it'll change your life. In other words, your life is awful. It's going terrible. But you start praying. You start worshiping Jesus. You start coming to the Most High God. You start doing prayer time. You start listening to Jesus' stories. You start listening to anything online that talks about Christ. And you start talking about and listening to Jesus, and you build a relationship with him. Suddenly, he's part of your life now, and he will change your life and allow things to happen in your life that are going to be totally unexpected, things that you never thought were possible will happen to your life.
You also have to put in the physical action, though, too, is that. That's the big thing you got to add in there. Because I've seen people do this where they're like, you know what, I'm going to start praying. And like you said, they're 500 pounds. But they don't stop eating 6 different XL cheese, you know, pizzas every single day and 2 liter sodas. Well, I've been praying about this for months. You're still eating 40,000 calories a day, bud. I'm not trying to be weird, but you have to actually mount and mate that prayer with physical change.
Well, I've got a plaque right over here in a cabinet. It says, and my grandmother did it. It says, Zwei Leben stützen brechen nie, Gebet und Arbeit heißen sie.
Correct.
And what it means is there's two fundamental principles in life, stützen, that are pillars of life that can never be broken. In other words, they will hold you up through life. Gebet is prayer. Arbeit is work. That's why I told Eddie this morning. I told him, I said, dude, I'm still at 100%. You know, here's the thing. People always ask me, are you going to retire and do what? Wait to die? To me, that really sounds awful. Doesn't that sound awful to you, Austin?
That's horrible.
I'm going to go sit in the corner over here and just go and wait to die.
Okay, but clarify this, though. You got to understand. Some people, they've worked jobs for a long time, and they're retiring, and they're going to do something else. They're going to do a side job. They're going to do something. Not everybody's going to retire and just sit around on the couch and not do anything.
I have a friend of mine. He has a tire shop in Haines City.
Yeah.
Okay. His father worked for 50 years, started the tire shop, and on his 65th birthday, he died. He died on his 65th birthday. And that story is like awful. But I hear it over and over again. A person says, I'm going to retire and play golf. Let me tell you something. Unless you're really a golf fanatic, you get bored playing golf. It's a waste of time as far as I'm concerned. I know a lot of you guys like golf.
Sometimes fun.
I didn't say it wasn't fun, but I mean, if that's all
you're on the drive, but all gives me mad. Awesome,
but all you're going to do basically is sit around and play golf 8 hours a day for the rest of your life and chase a little ball around the field.
Well, it's not very productive. It's more therapeutic. It's not very productive.
I would rather stay focused and in God's will for my life. I had Sherry Tenpenny ask me a few years ago. She said to me, said, Ted, if you could do whatever you wanted, what you wanted to do right now, what would you do? This is like 6 years ago. And I said, I would do exactly what I'm doing right now. I feel like I'm in the dead center of God's perfect will for my life. I told her that. And she said, really? I said, yes. I said, I love what I do. I enjoy it because I get to come to you guys every day and pontificate. That's really kind of cool. And the reality is I get to help more people this way. Now, if I, God hasn't trained me for all of these years and all of the things that he's taught me for me to sit around, sit on my hands and do nothing. So if you've got a purpose, and Emerson said it this way, never allow yourself to die with the music still in you. That's a loose quote. But what it means is if you've got a symphony you want to write, you better get it out of you before you check out. If you got stuff you want to do, you better get it out of you before you check out. If you want to do things with your life, if you've got a goal, if you've got a dream, if you've got an aspiration, if you've got something you want to do with the rest of your life, you need to get it done. And don't sit around and wait to die. To me, that sounds awful. You see some of these people, you see them on these ice floes up in Alaska, up in, you know, close to the North Pole. You get these Indians, and it's time to die. And they go sit out on an ice floe, wait for a polar bear to come eat them.
I haven't seen that. I don't know. I don't generally see that kind of
stuff. Well, I don't know if they still do it. They used to do it because they have become no longer – they are no longer a productive part of the workforce. They become a hindrance. So, you know, I quite frankly, I can think of a lot of other things to do besides sit on ice floe and wait to be eaten by a polar bear. That sounds awful. Well, the same thing is true, isn't it? Going to be eaten by cancer, going to be eaten by heart disease, going to be eaten by lack of physical activity, going to be eaten because now your cardiovascular system shuts down on you. Don't allow that to happen. When you have the fight in you, you keep that fight in you. When you have that direction, that goal, that guidance, that leading of the Holy Spirit, you keep it going all the days of your life. Don't sit around and sit on your hands and wait to die. You do something with the rest of your life, and you stay focused, and you stay energetic. You continue to encourage your family to do whatever you have to do. Like Austin, he says to me this morning on the show, right in the funeral, he goes, well, Dad ever said he's going to do it. It's going to get done. And the kids always, the mantra in our family was, stick with Dad, stay with Dad, because if Dad tells you he's going to do it, it's going to get done. That means if I'm going to take you to get ice cream, we're going to get ice cream. Yeah. If I'm going to take you to ride a pony, we're going to go ride a pony. If I'm going to take you to go ride in a hot air balloon, we're going to go ride a hot air balloon. Whatever I tell you we're going to do, we're going to do. That's the whole key if you want to continue a productive life. Do what you say you're going to do. Stay focused on what you want to do and get your goals done. This morning, I just posted something about how to wake up in the morning by Jim Rohn.
I saw that. Send it to me.
Ron Jackson sent it to me.
I've always sent Jim Rohn out.
Oh, God, I love Jim Rohn. So I posted it on the website so you guys can listen to it. You've got to stay focused. You've got to stay goal-oriented. You've got to stay directed. If it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and you're still in bed and you've been sleeping for 18 hours, it's about time to get up.
It is time to get up. Okay. It's
not really. I mean, you're not 12 years old anymore. You haven't been to the beach the day before. You weren't exhausted playing in the surf. You know, you got to do something. So just,
this is another thing.
I remember as a kid, I'd go to the beach for the day. You'd be wild the next day.
Oh, yeah. You get there 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. You'll get home to 7, 8 o'clock at night.
You sleep for half the
sun
day.
Sun for 12 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of keeping stuff out of you, there's another study, once again, another study. Drinking just one cup of soda a day significantly increases your liver disease by over 50% now in non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Wow, is that high fructose corn syrup?
It keeps going up. Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me now how sodas have been on the market for decades.
100 years.
And just now, they're really starting to come out on how unbelievably bad they are. And it's not just the sugar. Sugar's bad enough.
Phosphoric acid.
Sugar feeds cancer. Sugar ruins the immune system. Sugar wrecks the joints. But it's not just sugar. It's high fructose corn syrup. See, the guys that like free air, the ones that breathe free air, sugar just was too expensive.
You got to stop talking about Ben Shapiro.
Or Netanyahu.
Oh, yeah. Either. Maybe, you know, he's Polish, by the way. His real name's not Netanyahu.
What is it?
I can look it up real quick. But I found that out yesterday.
Sugar was too costly. Cane sugar, which they put in Coca-Cola for years and years and years, is too costly. So they decided the easiest way to do is basically start extracting the corn sugar out and process it into a corn syrup and pulling the fructose out. So they have a high fructose corn syrup. Much, 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 much cheaper to process than raw cane sugar, and it goes much further, and it's much, much sweeter in its raw form. The issue with high fructose corn syrup is it is 100% directly linked to what we now call non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, meaning you don't have to drink a drop of alcohol in your entire life. You can be completely sober, and you can drink sodas with high fructose corn syrup and still absolutely wreck your liver and have it full of lesions and tears and fats and pockets, and it's absolutely in horrific shape. With no alcohol, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, that's when you start seeing people and they start getting real overweight. Even if they're not drinkers, their stomach starts getting real big. And a lot of times it gets harder and bigger on their right side. That is the liver swelling up. You also see that with alcoholics. Cirrhosis of the liver starts swelling up more on the right side. That is what is being directly linked to high fructose corn syrup and soda every day. There is not one single useful purpose for drinking soda whatsoever except one that I've ever found. Taking bolts off our dirt bikes when they would get so gunked up with mud and rust, and you could throw them in Coca-Cola for about a day or two, and you'd pull them out, and these big old nuts and bolts, they would look brand stinking new. They look like you just bought them off the shelf again. That's how acidic Coca-Cola is with the phosphoric acid. I think it runs around a 2.5 pH. It's like one section above battery acid. It has to leach calcium out of your body just to neutralize it in the stomach. Stomach acid is too alkaline for phosphoric acid. Put it that way. It's stomach acid. Hydrochloric acid in your stomach is so acidic, it's designed to digest food. Phosphoric acid is so much more acidic than stomach acid. You got to pull calcium out of your body just to neutralize it down some so it doesn't eat your digestive tract before it goes to the small intestines. That's how acidic Coca-Cola is. But yet, people drink it every single day. And now they're saying well, just one of these a day massively increases, was directly associated with 50% and 60% higher risk of liver disease now. That's one soda a day. I haven't even seen research that shows one beer a day does that much damage to your stomach. And I'm not recommending alcohol. Alcohol is something you stay away from. But when you have studies now showing the high fructose corn syrup is even more toxic than alcohol, one of the most toxic compounds we know to man, the liver, and high fructose corn syrup is being used in everything now, really address if it's something you ever want to put in your body, period, especially your kids.
Well, it's poisonous.
It's literally poison.
Remember, when you ingest an acidic product, your body has to use calcium, potassium,
magnesium
to basically neutralize the acidity.
Yeah, the acidity of it.
And if it doesn't, and what ends up happening, now you end up with deficiencies of all these nutrients. And that's why osteoporotic fractures are so common among people who basically drink so many sodas.
Yeah,
And magnesium deficiencies are so high. That's why it's so important to stay away from this. It's just, you know, if you had a sip of a cola every, I mean, I told you last year, actually in the springtime, Southeastern's baseball team was basically on the playoffs, and they asked me to come over to the game, and I had a ticket up on the top of the press box, and I said, well, I'm going to have a soda. So I had a Sprite or something like that. Within 10 minutes, I felt awful.
Yeah.
And I only drank like two swallows of it.
It poisons you.
No, and I thought, because I haven't had one of those in years, and I didn't even finish it. I said, I'm not going to drink this. I feel awful. And I'm not picking on Sprite, because they all do that.
That was good high fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, but just bad. Oh, by the way, so you think his name is Benjamin Netanyahu, huh? Well, that's cute. But here's the kicker. His real name is Benzion Milyowski. Yeah, he doesn't roll off the tongue like Netanyahu, does it? Oh, by the way, he's Polish. Let that sink in for a minute. Now, whether or not all that's true or not, I don't know. But I just like Netanyahu so much, I thought I'd read it. That's my disclaimer on that. But it just is what it is with all due, and you're not going to be part of it. That's a fact. And here's why. Because you're not allowed to buy into these AI startups. The journal noted that it's a sort of private club where the privileged group could obtain shares of companies still in their early growth phases. Everyone else is left with older, slower-growing names. That dynamic is exacerbating the wealth disparity in the U.S. As the late comedian George Carlin said long before the terms oligarchy and deep state were being handed around by the social media, it's a big club and you ain't in it. Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Paul Atkins sees the two-tier system as an existential threat to the U.S. economy. Let me tell you how this works. The banker boys, all right? The Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan. The Bible calls it the synagogue of Satan. So don't pick on me about that. It says it twice in the New Testament. What they do is they know the startup is starting, and they know they're going to promote it. Mm-hmm. And they buy in. They let their buddy boys buy into it. Now, what they do is they use these front guys to buy in. In essence, in many cases, they still own the company, but they use cutouts. In other words, the person doesn't really own the stock. He just appears to own the stock because they don't want everything to be Rothschild Inc.
Exactly right.
I'm just being honest with you now. So what happens? They'll pick somebody like Bill Gates, and they make him the front boy. And all of a sudden, he gets the nod. And all of a sudden, he's worth billions. But suddenly, you know what he does. You notice what he does with the money, right? He puts it into a foundation. In other words, he's not in control of it anymore. Because why? Because he never was in control of it. And a lot of these guys that are put in these positions of power like that, they're picked, they're handpicked because of their bloodlines or because of their parents. Remember, his parents were both involved. One was involved in the Federal Reserve Banks, the other was involved in Planned Parenthood. Remember this. All of these people are chosen. When you could probably get to $50 million or so if you wanted to, which is a lot of money, you know, on your own in the United States because of free enterprise. And by the way, they hate the fact that you can do that. They loathe
it. That's where they're trying to reduce it, though. That's why they're doing more.
Why do you think they're doing the income tax and the inheritance tax like they do? These big boys, they always put these things into foundations so they're not taxable for the next generation.
But they want everybody else to get taxed.
Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they don't want you to have control. In other words, they don't want you to be independent. They want you to own nothing and be happy. Remember that piece of crap Klaus Schwab, the one while he's running out of a wedding dress on the doggone coast of Lake Geneva? He goes, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. No, you stinking pervert. We don't want anything to do with you. Weirdos. And that's the problem. These people are weirdos. They're a bunch of pedophiles is what they are in most cases. You saw that with Jeffrey Epstein. And if you can't be a pedophile with them, they don't want you in their club. In other words, they want you to come to his mansion in Manhattan and make sure they get you on videotape being a pedophile. That way they can control you through blackmail. Oh, yeah. So now it's a big old club. So maybe George Carlin should have said this way. It's a big old pedophile club, and I ain't in it.
I don't want to
be in it. So that's the thing that they run into. And so when you see this stuff, this list now is being released. Whatever. It's going to be redacted. You think, well, this could be the real list. Do you believe it? You don't even know who killed John F. Kennedy yet. They won't release the full list on that.
No, we do know that.
Well, yeah. That
was Mossad.
Well, if you watch that movie, the video, it's from a JFK to 9/11. It's a rich man's trick. It's about a 3.5-hour video. Instead of wasting time on that pedophile, weirdo, gay Netflix tonight, watch that video online. It's a rich man's trick. Basically, and that's who runs it. It's just very important you watch that video. I've watched it twice. 3.5 hours, I watched it twice. That's a lot of time to invest in it, but it's that good. It goes into detail on the Kennedy assassination. It also talks about the Hollywood star's father who was in it and who said he shot Kennedy before he died. So I'd mention that so you guys can read through that. And also it talks about what happened with 9/11. And when you have a bunch of dancing Israelis on top of the roof in New York, dancing when 9/11 happens and getting on bragging about it over on Israeli TV, and all of a sudden they come out and say, oh, they were Arabs. No, they weren't. You know, it's just unbelievable to me the stuff that gets twisted and how they change history as they just lie. You remember, because that goes right back to what Jesus said, isn't it? They said, our father's Abraham. No, it's not. Your father's the devil. He's the father of lies, been a liar from the beginning. Oh, no, our father's Abraham. No, he's not. You're demon possessed. Basically, you're nuts. And that's why you're trying to kill me. When they say, oh, we're not trying to kill you, turns right back around a week later, they crucify him. Why? Why was he crucified? For telling the truth. And because he basically allowed himself to be crucified because he was going to create a blood sacrifice for us as an omnipresent being for all eternity. That's the main reason, to bring us back to the Father. So we've done entire shows on that. But the AI economy, a lot of people are going to make hundreds of billions of dollars on that. But remember who they are. They're going to be the cutouts. Nobody else gets the opportunity to invest in companies like this, period. What do you think, Austin?
Oh, absolutely. Well, this is an article yesterday that I wanted to cover. It says, eat well on a tight budget. It said, a little planning can turn preparing home-cooked healthy meals in advance in a simple weekly routine. And I've done this for years. This is kind of their little spin on it that they've done now. And they said a lot with the food prices, grocery stores going up over 30% on average just since COVID, which, I mean, that's what everybody brings up all the time. Like, gosh, I said it's gotten expensive to eat. Well, yeah, that's why I don't go out to eat dinner very often in restaurants anymore. It's just part of it. But also, too, we go to the store. We try to make sure we dial stuff in. You can, and one thing you can do is you can look at different times they have stuff on sale. Publix does this sometimes because there are some good deals at Publix, even though they're outrageously expensive on some things. They'll have like buy one, get one free certain times of the month. And they'll have that on organic products sometimes. So you can look at that. You can also look at different deals online and time it accordingly. It says, check your schedule first. Most people start planning meals by picking recipes and realize halfway through the week they don't have time to cook them or they don't have everything they need. The first thing is get a schedule. Don't make it complicated. Sometimes people try to get these complex meals every week. In my opinion, I don't have to eat three different types of foods and meals every single day.
Chicken and vegetables.
Chicken and vegetables. He's just simplistic as it gets. He's still like he's a bodybuilder in his 20s when it comes to his meals. I need a little bit more variety because I got three kids.
I want my arteries staying clean.
I got three kids. I got to give them a little bit different than just chicken and vegetables. But
I use a large variety of vegetables. Remember, the different colors of the vegetables.
Different melodies, I guess they call it.
Different, yeah. They have different minerals that create the colors.
Yes.
So I use a large variety of vegetables. You can buy them in Publix if you want to buy them there. I mean, they're ridiculously overpriced. But I get them frozen.
Yeah.
And you can even get organic frozen corn, which actually tastes pretty good. And I mix it all together in a big pan like this big, this deep.
Yeah.
Like 6 packs of vegetables. And I cook them. Make sure you don't forget that they're on the stove. I've done that too.
So you got to call me to come over to your house.
Burn the house down.
House about on fire.
And that was awful.
Your house stunk. It's full of smoke.
Hunter goes, Opa, you almost burned your house down. And I like, yeah, I know. Thanks for reminding me. That was great. There was so much smoke in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But so don't walk away from it. Because what I do is I put a little bit of water in the bottom of the pan. I bring them to a boil. And I let them sit and steam.
Sit and steam, yeah.
Instead of cooking them, but I left the house.
He left. He runs out the door. He called, Austin, I'm in Tampa. My vegetables are still on. I'm like, oh, gosh. Me and Hunter go over there and I get the key and go in there. Whole house billowing smoke out. The stoves, the vegetables are like on fire. Which I thought was
they weren't really burning until you took the lid off.
That was the problem. It was turning into like a pressure cooker bomb with vegetables. And I took it off. Anyways, it says for the second part here, see what you already have. A lot of times you can go to deep freezers. I got a deep freezer in my house. You can go and start digging stuff out. Be cautious sometimes going to the store and buying a ton of new food, because a lot of times I've been guilty of this. I'm like, oh, we need this, and I'll start digging in the freezer, and you'll find exactly what you want. Use up the food you need. Always keep stuff stocked up, but burn through it and don't waste it, and cook stuff that you know you're going to eat. And it's like a couple different options on here. So like one thing they have here, they have rice with eggs and mixed vegetables. Now, I like to eat a little bit extra rice because I like to have some carbohydrates. The kids need carbohydrates because they're younger and they're really active. So I like to make sure it's got a good amount of healthy fats like butter when you cook it, with good organic rice, with eggs and mixed vegetables. That's a great little option you have here on this. They're talking about if you get it proper, frozen peas, carrots, eggs, rice, you cook it up for about $3.50 a serving on here. There's another one that has on eggs and spinach scramble. This is actually a really good one I've done many times. You have eggs, you take some spinach and some vegetables, and you just mix them together. Bunch of whole eggs, bunch of vegetables.
But how many times do I always order omelet with spinach in them anyway?
Yes, yeah, so you can do that at the house all the time. Another one, beans, beef, rice, burritos, a salad. You could do that. Ground beef with some organic beans and rice. You make that a taco. Or a lot of times I'm a big fan of doing basically almost like a Chipotle bowl at the house. I'll do that all the time. I'll cook up ground beef, big thing, about 5 pounds of ground beef. I'll make some beans and rice, and then basically have some little bit of organic cheese and salsa. You mix it together in a bowl, mix it up. I mean, you can eat it. I mean, fast, simple, easy, quick, hits the spot, also keeps
go,
you calories.
Go ahead and post this so people can see it.
I am. This is just a very quick, budget-friendly weeknight meals that don't cost a lot of money. And if you get the timing right, you buy it right, it's not that crazy to eat organic unless you start going to, like, Whole Paycheck. Or I mean, Whole Foods, run by Amazon. Whole Foods, that'll...
Well, Publix turned the Whole Paycheck,
yeah, they
too.
Are now. They are. They still at least run a lot of sales on it. You just got to look at the timing on it and see what when they start doing, like, buy one, get one. That's a pretty good deal when they start doing that. That's what subsidizes the other cost, in my opinion, in my budget when I look at it.
I never see that with the organic vegetables, like, because I buy them all the time. I never see buy one,
organic
get one.
Vegetables, I don't know if they do that on those, because I think so many people already just buy them. Mm-hmm. But you can look at it on other stuff on there. And then there's also, too, Costco, which I'm not a huge fan of Costco. They're a little eh for me, but you can get some pretty good deals there on eggs, especially on eggs. I bought a bunch of them.
Well, yeah, Walmart also has, not Walmart, Sam's Club. Yeah, Aldi's too.
Aldi's got some great deal on eggs a lot of times.
Yeah, they do. But the other thing too is Sam's has a lot better price on beef.
Yes, organic ground beef, USDA.
Well, I don't see the organic at Sam's, but I mean, the thing, you may see it at Costco, but that's pretty rare. But you get pretty good chuck for like $7 a pound.
Do your research, honestly. If you can afford it up front, the best thing to do is split a cow with somebody. I do that pretty much twice a year. That's the easiest way to do it. You're at about $6 a pound for ground prep package done, and that's for 100% grass-fed organic ground beef. Tastes good. And like I said, you got to buy a little bit more up front. Be thrown in the deep freezer. You eat off of it for months. So a way to eat clean.
Our entire national debt is from fraud.
I can't argue with that one a whole lot.
NGOs now have more assets, $14 trillion, more than Germany, Japan, and India's GDP combined.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just who they are, isn't it? It says the taxpayer money laundering has taken place is insane. The Federal Reserve has revealed that the U.S. NGOs have more assets than the combined 2025 GDP estimates for Germany,
Japan, and
India combined. The combined assets of the U.S. NGO non-government organizations equals $14.2 trillion of your tax money. India and Japan's GDP just over $4 trillion, Germany $5 trillion, and about $13.5 trillion together. Guess what? The combined assets held by the non-GOs equals $14.2 trillion of your tax dollars money. Ever wonder why everything is getting so unaffordable? It's not actually rocket science. The government has forgotten the fundamental reason for which it was formed, to serve and protect our civil liberties. It has inverted the entire formula, decided that we are the ones here to serve, to work, and through our individual labor support their desires, and behemoth of the bureaucracy that has emanated from those desires. Those people rob us blind so they can have mansions and spread DEI. We're talking now about the 17 cabals, Luciferic Gates. Slow down, Ted. Too many purple sticks. I'm talking about the Sabbatean, Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan's that run the blanking system that have sold us down the river through debt-based currency. So they can spread their DEI all over America, have mansions all over America, while infesting our nation with criminals.
Yeah.
This is all part of Cloward and Piven, by the way. Notice how no one has been prosecuted as they fleeced us out of our money. $14.2 trillion. Our money is stolen and no one's arrested, or even Elon and Doge showed all of us what was going on. Notice that. He's right. Not one person has been brought to justice now.
No.
For all of the hundreds of billions of dollars that Elon Musk found. And he said he would find trillions, and they shut him down.
Yep.
He started talking about auditing Fort Knox. That was it. And this and stories like this proves that it's the government at every level has more than enough money to conduct its business, and the taxes we pay are mostly unnecessary. Our entire national debt is from fraud. And what's interesting, yesterday DeSantis said that he's going to now try to get it passed through the House and send it up there in Tallahassee, that state residents no longer have to pay tolls on toll roads.
I saw that. I saw that. That is huge. Because you got to remember, a lot of the toll roads down here in Florida are subsidized partially through taxpayer funds through the state. The state helps subsidize a lot of those toll roads. And then you have to pay money to drive on them in perpetuity. And there's no disclosure on profitability with them. They never give you a P&L statement how much money
they're bringing in. And have you guys noticed, when did you get the listing of a new toll road coming out so you could invest in it?
I've tried. We've tried.
Can't do it.
You never get an opening option.
It's exactly like the AI. The same Kabbalah synagogue of Satan group. That's why you have never-ending work on the system, on the highway systems, because it's all mafiosa-controlled in most cases. Not all cases, but in most cases. It's always money through kickbacks. I had a friend of mine from New York, and he had this huge lawn business. And I said, well, how did you get so big? He goes, it's kickbacks. Tell me that. He goes, I have to pay the people who run these huge trailer parks and these huge facilities to give them, so they give me the contracts.
Yeah.
And I thought, he says, it's all blackmail, it's all kickback.
Well, and that's what's happened down here in Florida with the massive expansion, is that a vast majority of these giant subdivisions and giant developments are because of kickbacks to the city and county commissioners. I've already said this multiple times.
You wouldn't call it a kickback. It would be, they have the opportunity to invest in things before anybody else knows about it.
Or in opportunities that nobody else has the ability to get involved.
That's why they all end up being multimillionaires.
Right. I mean, how do you have people that go into Congress and they're worth, like a couple $100,000 or $1 million? They get out after 4 years and their net worth suddenly $10, $15, $20 million.
Here's another health story. We're almost out of time. I took ADHD pills, which is now, we're talking Adderall, talking Ritalin, we're talking amphetamine salts, right? And we're talking about compounds that are Schedule II that are the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol. That's how addictive these products are. And I took antidepressants and ADH pills for years, and no one warned me that coming off them would leave me in hell. The burning, the weight loss, I've never felt agony like this.
Whew.
That's withdrawal.
Yeah.
People start on these ADH drugs in elementary school, and they are given these amphetamine salts all the way until they get through college.
All the way through development.
Neurological development. And all of a sudden now, you got to come off of this stuff, and now they're like, I don't know how to function. My brain didn't build like this. It built on amphetamines. And that's why these things age you so stinking fast. And then you throw the antidepressants on top of it. They give you something like, Effexor, which is like a sustained release Prozac that has like thousands of little capsules in it. And it basically makes you so addicted, it's almost impossible to come off of it. I spoke to a medical doctor, a friend of mine, and I said, I have a friend who's on Effexor. How do they come off of it? She goes, I don't know how to come off of it.
Yeah.
She goes, it's almost literally impossible because it's so addictive.
We got to be careful with it. It's similar to Xanax with benzodiazepine withdrawals. You can't just sit there and just stop taking Xanax.
Well, the
Xanax.
Person I who got off of, she actually started counting the little pellets inside of the capsule. She started reducing. Took her a full year to come off of it.
Oh, cooked the clock.
Have a good weekend. Hey, I love you guys. I appreciate you. I'll see you at church on Sunday. Thank you for praying for us. Jesus is the answer for you and for everything. Don't be basically caught up in fear porn.
No.
Always remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And all we can do is just point out these lowlifes and what they're doing and stand firm with the word of God and with Jesus and say, hey, no, not us. We're not going to be your victim today.
Not today.
We're going to walk in faith. I love you guys. Go ahead.
Have a good one, my friends. Grab the 12 Days of Christmas Ultimate Multiple. Check out the other stuff that's coming up this weekend. And be sure to jump on the mushrooms. Give me some reviews on it. Let me know how you think. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and strong as always. And we'll talk to you again on this show as always on Monday.
Love you guys.